Good morning. It is so good to be with you on this fourth, final Sunday of Advent, and we're all getting ready for the joy of Christmas Day. Everything is building up now. Everything is expectant, and we are looking forward to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day together in this holy place. I want to call to your attention a couple of announcements. We will be having the Christmas Eve candlelight service, sometimes called a tenebrae service, and we are looking forward to you being here with us for that. It's going to be marvelous music by our choir and by, what is your name? Adam. Adam. Okay. Oh, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. I'm going to have a neurocognitive test to see if my dementia has already started. And so if I get your names mixed up and can't remember what I had for breakfast, please forgive me. Let's see. We will be closed during the church office from December the 6th, it's 26th, through January the 2nd. That's so that staff can celebrate a little Christmas respite, and I think we're all looking forward to that too. Sometimes the day after Christmas is as joyous as the Christmas day itself, because we can all take a deep breath and resume our routines. Do we have any other announcements this morning? If we haven't yet sung your favorite Christmas carol, I bet you will hear it on Christmas Eve. So don't get angry. Come and participate. And who knows, we may just have a Christmas carol sing-along at some point so we can get everybody's favorite in. I haven't cleared that with anybody. I'm just throwing it out for your consideration. Let us come and worship God together. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us exchange the peace of Christ.
Please stand for the lighting of the Advent candles. Our reading today is from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. We light the peace candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the Lord will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child. And let us pray. We are busy, Lord, and this week before Christmas, there is so much to do. There are parties to plan, meals to make, presents to wrap, and only you know what else. But we are here as children who have come home. Help us to mend the rips in the clothing of our souls. Bandage up our scraped feelings and our hectic schedules, so that we may worship you, who holds out the vision of peace and joy, which is the hallmark of Advent. Silence our inner voices and set our souls on the path to your glory. Amen.
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and in faith, let us confess our sins together. First in silence, let us pray. And together we pray. We have a hard time with silence, Lord. Our voices and the voice of others clamor for our attention and distract us from you. We are easily distracted and lured from your will. We confess that our pleasant preconceptions are tempting, and the call to faithfulness sometimes falls on our clouded ears. Defend our waywardness and focus anew on the things of your kingdom, that our days may be lived in service, our lives give witness to your love. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. At this time, we'll have our time with the children. I don't see any. Ah, here we come. Okay. All right. We have someone. Come on down. Yeah. A lot of folk here, aren't there? Oh, we got another one. Come on down. Okay. Well, we are few, but we are mighty. You like this? Do what? He said, "Hello, Santa." He remembers from last week. That is great. All right. Yes, sir. Haynes, you got it, man. Well, I got something. Well, you know what? Well, we forgot the first part of our time together. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, no. No, we can do better than that, can't we? Good morning.
Good morning.
That's much better. Okay. All right. Oops. Well, Santa Claus broke his rocking chair. I think we can fix it. I got something new this week.
You are so strong.
I am so strong. That is right. I can lift 5 or 10 pounds if I need to. Okay, Miss Vicky, my wife, gave me something this week.
It's called an air tag, and this is it. That's what it looks like right there. It's got a little piece of leather over it. It looks like you've had a hard fall. No, I'm okay, thank you. I've got a smart aleck watch. Anybody else have one of these? Okay. The air tag. Okay. Miss Vicki got this, so if I lose my keys or if I lose myself, she can find me. It will pull up a map on her smartphone, and it will point exactly where I am. Now, I'm not the only one who got an air tag. Each one of my dogs got one, too. So if the dogs get loose or if I get loose, she will know where I am. That doesn't mean she's going to come get me. It just means she knows where I am. It's kind of nice. You know, I remember when I moved one time as a child, we moved to a different house. And it was right around this time of year. And I was terribly worried that Santa Claus would not be able to find me. And I wouldn't get any gifts. I'd come downstairs and there would be nothing under the tree. And that really scared me. But Mom and Dad assured me that Santa knew exactly where we lived, even though we'd only been there a few days. Santa knew exactly where we lived. And I've always thought well of Santa Claus ever after that. And you know what? The great lesson there is that people who love us, especially God, always know how to find us and help us. Sometimes people we don't even know are able to find us and help us. I want you to always remember, no matter where you move or where you go, you're never really lost, because God knows where you are, and most likely those who love you do too. And they're going to do everything they can to find you and bring you home. So I kind of like having this air tag because if it wasn't for GPS in my car, I couldn't get down the block. And this helps me to know somebody cares for me and loves me. And if something happens to me, like when I hit that chair and I got a message from my phone, it looks like you had a hard fall. Are you okay, or should we call the EMTs? Well, somebody knows where I am and how to help. The ambulance, that's right. You call 911 and they come with everything they have, okay? They call that roll the world, okay? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your small servants and that they are together and we are with them. And help us remember that wherever we are, we're never truly lost, because you always know us and love us and care for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's sing our song.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within up every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Listen for God's word. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the rest." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O God of David, it is too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows for how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and to choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans chapter 1. Listen for God's word. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his son, who is descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I would like to thank Adam and the choir. Adam, I remembered your name that time. Doing better. I have been honored to be the pastor of many churches with good music programs. This is a fine music program, and I don't want you to ever take it for granted. They work hard, Adam works hard. And it is a shining star, I think, in our area, this choir, which is, to my way of thinking, simply magnificent. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I have heard some really bad choirs. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew. And this is a very, very familiar passage from the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. Listen for the gospel of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but they had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and she named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we hear the old story again. And perhaps with fresh ears, we might perceive the dynamics of that moment, that decision, that action which led to the beginning of your kingdom through our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to hear afresh and to consider anew the reality of that time, that place, and your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When I was growing up, it was a marvelous time when the holidays came. Mama was big on decorating for Christmas and Easter. Kind of made me glad that she didn't celebrate St. Swithin's Day. God knows what, you know, St. Swithin drove the possums out of Attapulgus, Georgia. And it's kind of gone to hell in a handbasket ever since St. Swithin died. But I remember just being in awe of Mama's creative ability to put things on the dining room table, which was kind of like our family altar before I discovered the coffee pot. She would put, well, for Easter, she had a paper mache tomb, an empty tomb. It was about that big, sat in the middle of the dining room table, and she had figurines of two angels standing there. And I'm guessing it was the Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who are standing at the side, and there's a little bed inside of the tomb that had some pieces of cloth on it that represented the burial wrappings for Jesus. And one year I just decided, well, you know, everybody's there but Jesus. And so I had a plastic model of the mummy, if you remember those things. And he's kind of coming at you like this. And I put him inside the tomb. It was the first of many beatings I got for being sacrilegious. I thought I was just completing the scenario. Jesus actually coming out of the tomb. It was actually, I think, Imhotep who came out of the tomb there. I'm going to have a little water here. Excuse me. Oh, and it's not even vodka this time. Thank you so much. So here it was, you know, Easter and all that, and Mama didn't quite go to much extremes after that, but Christmas was always good too, because on the dining room table, she would have this marvelous antique creche, this manger scene, and you had Mary, and you had the baby Jesus, you had Joseph, you had the angels, you had the shepherds, and you even had the kings, the whole Christmastide story from Advent through Epiphany right there in front of you. And I remember looking at these figurines, which I was told never to touch. Do not touch. So, I mean, of course, that made them attractive. And I kept looking at the figurines, and Mary is smiling. And the baby Jesus is smiling. And the angels and the shepherds and the kings are all smiling. And everybody's attention is focused on the baby Jesus. And the figure of Joseph, he, for some reason, he is not smiling. I never figured that out. He has a look on his face in that scene that would say to any male over, say, the age of 45 or 50, it's that look you get when you're asking the universe, what have I gotten myself into? That's the way Joseph looked. And I suspect that is the predominant question of Joseph's life. We don't know that much about Joseph. Joseph kind of comes onto the scene and is betrothed to Mary, and she becomes, as they say in the King James Version and the RSV, she became with child. I'm sorry, that just sounds so much better than pregnant. She was with child. Yeah, I'm old-fashioned that way. And they were betrothed, and this was not supposed to happen. There was not to be any friendliness between the husband and the wife during the time of betrothal. They didn't live together. They lived in separate houses. And if the woman in the couple became with child, it was a scandal. It was awful. And Joseph would have been within his rights as the betrothed male to accuse her publicly of infidelity. And the sentence for infidelity was taking you outside of the city gates and stoning you to death. I want you to think about that. Not just the pain of the execution, but the shame to everybody in the family. This was an absolute familial emergency. And Joseph would have been completely within his rights to file a writ of divorce and a writ for her execution, per the law of Moses, which was enforced at that time, by the way. But Joseph was what we would call a good and faithful man. He was not willing to put his beloved wife or his beloved betrothed through that shame. And there was a provision in the law which said that he could issue her a writ of divorce and hand it to her privately. And he would go on with his life, and she would go on with what was left of her life. Because even if she was divorced, to be with child was a serious blow to your life, your reputation, and your prospects for the future. But heck, it was better than being stoned outside the city gates. And so Joseph decided, I can't live with her. I can't forgive what has apparently happened, but I'm not willing to expose her to public ridicule. And so I'm going to divorce her quietly. He made up his mind this was going to happen. Can you imagine the discussions that must have been held between Joseph and Mary? Can you imagine probably heated arguments about the whole thing? And she says to him, well, I've been faithful. God did this. And here come the men in the white suits and the van and the fishing nets to catch you and take you off to the enchanted kingdom. I imagine there were some long, hard discussions. I imagine there were also some of those long, hard silences. Yeah, we've all had those in our lives. And it was after much consideration, Joseph decided, it's time to end this. He made up his mind. Mary, I am sure, was fearful, terrified at the prospect of what would happen to her and her family. You know, we don't really consider that when we're reading this wonderful story, what the dynamics and the energies were behind the scenes. Scripture doesn't mention that. The writers of that story probably assumed that we knew. But there it was, a familial emergency. And Joseph had made up his mind, and he had decided what to do, and he went to bed that night, probably very troubled, very afraid, very ashamed. And it was at that point that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, don't do that. Don't divorce Mary. Yes, she's with child, but it is with the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. And you are to marry Mary. And when this child is born, you're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people. And Joseph woke up and did as he was told. Now, I want you to consider the fact of the age difference and the life experience difference between Joseph and Mary. Scholars think Mary was about 12 or 13 when this took place. Now, I don't know anything about raising girls. I got two boys. But I have been around people who are raising girls, and I've been around girls who are being raised, and I'm glad it was for me a spectator sport. I understand boys, I just don't understand girls. Been married 45 years, still don't understand girls. But that's okay, I don't need to. Mary was young. It was not uncommon in those times for marriages to be arranged. I'm sure she was terrified. And she had all those dreams for herself that young girls have. And here's Joseph. We're not really sure how old Joseph was, but we think probably late 20s, maybe 30. You know, when you get to 30 in those days, You know, they're starting to pull the shades on you. It was old age by the time you were 40. And if you weren't dead by 50, you were close to it. And so, there's this age difference of perhaps twice as long as Mary had been alive. That was another dynamic going on that we don't think about very often. So the Holy Spirit tells Joseph, you got to marry this girl. You're going to make a life with her. You're going to name this baby Jesus. And Joseph says, okay. What a change of events. Joseph, as a result of this dream, agrees to marry Mary. And not only that, he agrees to name the child Jesus because he's going to save his people, and he does it because the angel told him to. Most men are not quite that obedient. It has been explained to me by a nurse I used to work with. She said, women have two X chromosomes. Men have an X and a Y chromosome. And a Y is nothing but an incomplete X. Think about that. And Joseph, with his incomplete X, decides nonetheless to be obedient. Now, you know, we don't hear much about Joseph. After the birth of Jesus, Joseph kind of leaves the scene. Some scholars think he died. Others think he's just not mentioned. But we do know that the church has always held up Joseph and Mary as models of what obedience should look like. And one of the first progeny of obedience is faith. We obey and we do so in faith. And that's what Joseph did. You know, Joseph didn't really do anything. Joseph was called to let go. Joseph was called to get out of the way and let God do something. He was called to marry Mary and then stand back. Now, there are a lot of guys that are really good at standing back, but we don't like being told to get out of the way. You can tell me to do something, but please don't tell me how to do it, okay? You can tell me you want something accomplished, and I will try to accomplish it, but I really don't need step-by-step supervision by the double X person in my marriage. Joseph was told, stand down. Be an obedient husband. Be an obedient child of God. And that's what he's known for. And sometimes God tells us, stand down, get away, let God handle this. And that is hard for us to do as men and as women because we invest ourselves as obedient servants who are supposed to do things, accomplish things, go out and save the world like they told me to do when I graduated seminary. They were setting me up for such disappointment. Get out of the way. Let God do it. Joseph is recognized by most of Christendom, those who have saints or hagiographies, if you would. Saints, Saint Joseph. He's part of a whole lot of hospitals in the Catholic tradition. We had one in Savannah, St. Joseph. And one of my good friends who is a Catholic priest, I asked him about Saint Joseph. What was his primary virtue? And he said he did what he was told. He was a model for husbands everywhere, Mackenzie. I said, you can say that. You're not married. He said, Saint Joseph is the patron saint of lost causes. Think about that. The patron saint of lost causes. Saint Joseph helps to bring about change in lost causes. Now, if you consider that, and maybe you're in a Catholic hospital named St. Joseph, that does not inspire confidence. But there it is. Well, we decided it was time to retire, move to Atlanta, and sell our house in Savannah. And my friend, Father Charles, came over, and we had a cookout and everything, kind of a farewell. And he brought me a little statue of St. Joseph, which I still have. St. Joseph, he said, you need to bury him in your yard to sell your house. I said, is my house a lost cause? He said, no, St. Joseph is believed to facilitate the sale of a house. But you have to bury him in the yard. And not only that, you have to bury him upside down. Don't ask me. I went to Catholic school, but that one was a mystery. Bury him head first, and St. Joseph will assist in the sale of your house. 3 days later, we got an offer on our house, which was exactly our asking price. And the first thing that I did after we had signed the agreement, I went out in the yard and I dug up St. Joseph and I cleaned him off with the garden hose and I still have him at home. And I even talk to him from time to time. And particularly when the price of real estate in Blue Ridge just went through the ceiling, I thought about burying him again. But I didn't. You don't want to press your luck with any of the saints. Saint Joseph was the saint who got out of the way. He did as he was told. And so he's one of those people that stand by and wait for God's miracles. You know, I don't really like being told to get out of the way of things, but in the marvelous panoply of the gospel drama, sometimes it's best just to stand by and watch and be a part of the great parade. And it's okay not to have a leading part. Parades, after all, aren't really worth much unless there are those of us on the side of the street, watching and smiling and waving and seeing the drama go on down the street. It's a marvelous thing to be able to be obedient like St. Joseph, to stand and to watch, and to know that in some small way, by way of your obedience, you have brought a new dawn to the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's messy, this kingdom of God stuff. Yeah, it's got a lot of dynamics and a lot of hard discussions and a lot of hard silences. But God cleans up the mess. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have created those of us whose job is to sometimes just get out of the way of the kingdom, to stand by and watch and wait and pray, knowing somehow in the depths of our souls that you are there and you are guiding and directing. Help us to remember, O Lord, we don't have to do it all. Sometimes we can be those who support from the sidewalks of the parade. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and declare what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Oh, I forgot in the announcements. The session will meet this afternoon, and by virtue of the Book of Order, all session meetings are open to any member who wishes to come if your taste in entertainment runs toward that kind of thing. There. Let us pray. Almighty God, with grateful hearts, we come to you in this Advent season. The crisp air and the decorations and the joyful proclamations of love are in the air. We thank you for the beauty of this season. Keep us from concentrating on the beauty and neglecting the need. Remind us that you came to save all your children. Remind us that our call to faith includes doing things that help others. And even though sometimes we are called to stand by, we are also called to be active in the pursuit of justice. Father, we ask for your peace to extend to all places of hatred and warfare, and bring about that day when the guns shall be silenced and peace shall reign again in your world. And help us to be those who work toward that day. Be, we pray, with those who are ill, those of our congregation and beyond, and those of our circle of friends. Bring your healing touch to all manner of dis-ease. Send us, O Lord, the messengers of your kingdom. And tell us, O Lord, what you would have us do. And these and all of our prayers we ask in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I notice that I forgot a hymn. This happens when I don't have my glasses on. And so, Adam, can we have number 744 arise? I got a thumbs up from Adam. Remembered his name again. Thank you. Please be seated. That's one of my favorite hymns, and I just kind of went right by it. Thank you, Adam, for your flexibility with me. Let us now receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. Let's pray. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we come before you, giving you a portion of that which you first gave to us. Multiply the gifts and bless the givers, we pray, that your kingdom may be expanded and our hearts enlarged in the giving. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our hymn is 143, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Story now proclaim the Messiah's birth.
And now go forth from this place in peace and in joy. Let the light of the newborn Christ child begin to glow in your hearts, building this week till the birth of Jesus on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, when again we shall join to praise our Lord. In the name of the Father who created us, the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.